Roots grow down into the ground, wings they fly up high. Roots and wings are things we need to help kids get by. Everybody. Roots grow down into the ground, wings they fly up high. Roots and wings are things we need to help kids get by. Plants grow roots to reach the water way down below. Strong roots help them hang on tight when the cold winds blow. Roots grow down into the ground, wings they fly up high. Roots and wings are things we need to help kids get by. Now birds use wings to leave the nest when it's time to fly. It's scary, but they've seen their parents sail through the sky. Roots grow down into the ground, wings they fly up high. Roots and wings are things we need to help kids get by. Okay. When grown-ups have both roots and wings, we share them with our kids. Let's get ourselves in balance, then we'll all have more to give. Roots grow down into the ground, wings they fly up high. Roots and wings are things we need to help kids get by. Yes, roots grow down into the ground, wings they fly up high. Roots and wings are things we need to help kids get by.
Peter Alsop from Grow It at Home gave us Roots and Wings. You're listening to the Children's Hour. I'm Katie Stone. Today, we're thinking about roots. And coming up on the show, we're going to be talking with Robin Wall Kimmerer, the author of Braiding Sweetgrass, and now Braiding Sweetgrass for Young Adults with the adaptation by Monique Gray Smith. And they'll join us in just a bit. But before we get there, Jane Westbrook is with us here at the Outpost Performance Space, and we're thinking about roots like the actual roots of plants. Jane is an artist and educator, a self-proclaimed rootologist, lover of roots, and her art project On Roots has turned into an incredible educational story about the function of roots on planet Earth. And so before the break, we were talking about trees, and you started to talk about trees and their purpose and the ground and all this good stuff that happens with trees. And in one of the episodes of the Children's Hour that we have called Fungus Among Us, we do learn about how mycelium and trees have a whole thing going on. Can you talk about fungus, mycelium, mushrooms, if you will, mycelium, the roots of mushrooms? Will you talk about them as they relate to trees and tree roots?
They're all connected. When we think about roots, they're the main, heaviest of the systems in the ground. Mycelium is part of that, and they're more fibrous. They're little pieces, and the mycelium really is how they communicate with each other. They share nutrients. They share information. The mycelium is what does that.
So the mycelium is feeding off of the roots, and then the mycelium is connecting the trees to each other, and then they are carrying messages like a telegraph or a wire or something between the trees, right?
They're all connected, and they talk to each other, and they share everything.
Yeah, they can tell each other when one maybe is having an attack from a bug and it could use some kind of protective chemical. It can get that from the other trees through the mycelium network that is sending the signal, I have this problem, and then other trees respond. And it's really kind of thinking about what we define as being alive, right? Like trees are alive, obviously, they're living, and we know the difference between a dead tree and a living tree. But we don't often think of trees as things that move or things that talk. And yet now we know they do both, which is pretty crazy.
Do the roots just die when the plant dies?
Some do and some don't. Some live longer than the plant does, but a lot of times they die when the plant does. Or perhaps the root may die and then the plant may die because they're symbiotic. They have to work together. And sometimes a plant will die, but a new plant can grow from the root. So you don't usually get new roots growing from a plant, because when the root dies, the plant dies. But you can get a new plant growing from a root.
So when we see daffodils or tulips, those are bulbs. That's a root. And they seem like they die every year, but they don't.
But they don't.
They come back.
They go dormant, or they hibernate like a bear does. They're just sitting under there waiting to sprout again. They're perpetual.
What are different ways that roots are important to our environment?
They hold the soil, and they act as a sponge, too, for water. And if you look at native plants, we talk about planting native plants that are native to our area. And part of that reason is that they are so adaptable that they can live without a whole lot of water in the desert. And where do you think the whole cycle of water and air and vitamins and CO2 and all of that come from? It's a complete cycle that goes through the plant and through the roots, because they pull up nutrients from the soil and they pull up water from the soil. So they're critical. I mean, we couldn't do without it. The whole earth is covered. It's the foundation of the whole biological system.
I know also that our trees can capture carbon out of the air, and it kind of goes into the tree, and then the tree actually will take that carbon, and those molecules ultimately end up going down into the soil. And that's one way that we can combat climate change, is pulling out the carbon that is too much in the air and sequestering it in the soil into roots. It's why trees are so important.
Yes.
Jane, thank you so much for educating us about roots today.
It's my pleasure.
You can see pictures of Jane Westbrook's mural at childrenshour.org. Look for this episode, Roots. She also brought us a life-size taproot of an alfalfa plant. And to our surprise, it was many, many, many feet long. See a photo at childrenshour.org. Look for Roots. This is the Okie Dokie Brothers from Brambletown, right here on the Children's Hour.
There's a network of fungi sending reports that the rhythm of life is getting out of sorts. It says there's droughts and fires spreading on the plains. All the coasts have floods and hurricanes. The mycelium underground news says changes are coming and we got no time to lose. But tell me, what's the use of a headline? No one cares if there's a deadline. Threads, word spreads through the dirt that the land and plants are starting to hurt. Yeah, the stories travel through a tangled web, but we scroll right by and it never gets read. The mycelium underground news says changes are coming and we got no time to lose. But tell me, what's the use of a headline when no one cares if there's a deadline? The mycelium underground news says changes are coming. Got no time to lose, but tell me, what's the use of a headline when no one cares if there's a deadline? The mycelium underground news. The mycelium underground news. The mycelium changes are coming and we got no time to lose. The mycelium underground news. The mycelium changes. Ooh.
We've got the magical planet. In our hands, we've got the magic of the forest. In our hands, of the trees and the plants. In our hands, we've got the whole earth in our hands.
From Earth Day Around the World, that's the Earth Day song done by fairies and elves right here on the Children's Hour. And today on the show, we're thinking about roots. With us today is truly an incredible author. You've probably heard of her book, Braiding Sweetgrass. It's quite the sensation, even though it was written like a decade ago, and now there's a new version called Braiding Sweetgrass for Young Adults. We're joined today by Robin Wall Kimmerer.
Hey, thank you. I'm glad to be with you, and I'm looking forward to chatting.
Likewise. And Monique Graysmith, welcome to the Children's Hour.
Thank you.
Monique, you adapted Braiding Sweetgrass, the adult version, for young readers. What does that mean to be an adapter of a book?
An immense responsibility, that is for sure, to take this beautiful gift that Robin has given us called Braiding Sweetgrass and make some subtle shifts, some small shifts for you as the younger readers to have ways it weaves its way into your hearts and your minds and your spirits that might be different than that of us as adults. We put reflections in, we put questions in, we put calls to actions in at the end of each chapter. And sometimes those calls to actions are as simple as to go for a walk in your neighborhood and notice something that you haven't noticed before.
In Braiding Sweetgrass, the adult version and the young adult version, it's like a narrative storytelling guide to growing up, really, no matter how old you are, and growing into nature around us. How would you describe what these books are about?
For me, I meant Braiding Sweetgrass, both editions, really, as an invitation to you, an invitation to everybody to really create a nourishing relationship with the natural world. So many people don't even pay attention to the living world and to know the gifts, to think about the indigenous ways of knowing that says the land is our teacher. The book really has that first intention of, hey, let's pay attention. Let's pay attention to this amazing world around us. And then when you fall in love with the natural world, with birds and plants and water and land, how do we give our love back? It's an invitation to say, all right, when you love the world, what is the gift that you have to give back for everything that the land gives you? So it's an invitation to this idea of reciprocity, of giving back in return for everything we've been given. So it asks every reader, like, all right, what's your gift? What are you going to do? What do you feel called to do?
When did you first become involved and gripped with the concepts presented in Braiding Sweetgrass?
For me, the journey began as a kid in love with the land. I was lucky enough to grow up in the woods and the fields. It brought me so much satisfaction, so much guidance, honestly, that I wanted to share it. And as I got older, when I became an environmental scientist, understanding that native knowledge had a kind of medicine that the Western worldview needed. So many of our teachings are all about like how to be good to the land. And in Western science, it's all about how we've messed up the land. And so I wanted everybody to have that sense of, wait, I'm a human person who could really take care of land. And I could reciprocate the gifts of land in all the kinds of ways that I tried to show in Braiding Sweetgrass.
That's the voice of Robin Wall Kimmerer. She's the author of Braiding Sweetgrass and now the co-author with Monique Gray Smith of Braiding Sweetgrass for Young Adults. You're listening to the Children's Hour. We've got more. Stick with us.
Just like the wind feels the flight of the sparrow, I feel you today. And just like the earth knows the rain comes tomorrow, time is not my friend, 'cause they say that time can have an end. But you and I, my friend, are what we are forever. Just like the drum calls us brother to brother, I hear you today. And just like the love of a child for her mother, I love you today. They say that time can have an end, but you and I, my friend, are what we are forever. We are the strong ones, long ago ones. You are
Valela, right here on the Children's Hour. And in the background, it's Keith Baer from Earth Lodge with the Hidatsa Garden Song. It's the planting song. We've got more with the author of Braiding Sweetgrass, Robin Wall Kimmerer, and Monique Gray Smith, who adapted it for young adults. You can learn more at childrenshour.org. Look for this episode, Roots.
You're listening to the Children's Hour. Kids Public Radio. We'll be right back.
Many thanks to the Outpost Performance Space for hosting the Children's Hour. The Children's Hour is supported by United Way of North Central New Mexico. Support for the Children's Hour provided by New Mexico Arts, a division of the New Mexico Department of Cultural Affairs, and by the National Endowment for the Arts. Support for the Children's Hour provided by the City of Albuquerque Cultural Services Department and the Urban Enhancement Trust Fund. You can keep up with the Children's Hour by signing up for our monthly newsletter at childrenshour.org.